on Defusky Islands. We were out getting ice cream, and a baby deer walked up out of the woods and plopped down next to Gray. And she got to rub it.
That's Disney princess-esque.
It was. I also absolutely ran over there and rubbed it.
Sure.
Made everybody take pictures. So. Sure.
You definitely got in on that.
Yes. It came to Gray, but then I went to it.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff. Pastor David, not with us, but Elisa McCarter.
It's still
back
here.
In the studio. Yeah.
Still pretty successful.
Did not happen over vacation?
It didn't.
Okay. So where'd you go on vacation?
So first I went to South Carolina to Hilton Head and Defusky Island for a week, and then I went to Oregon for 5 days. So both coasts, one vacay.
All right, great. Pastor David is also on vacation.
Yeah, but he's in Ohio, so.
That is true.
But so, I think his parents listen to this, so we should be nice.
And his parents are from Ohio too.
And they're lovely people.
Probably.
Yeah, I met them. They're lovely.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe I have. I can't remember. Yeah, so that's where he's in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Now, when you were in Oregon, was it like a million degrees?
No. No, it was high of like 75 during the day and low of like 50 at night.
Okay.
It was glorious.
So it came back down.
It did. So that apparently is very unusual. Stuff died and...
I assume
reaching
115 degrees anywhere seems pretty unusual.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we have... at least one day every year here where it's like real feel is like 115 or 110.
Sure.
But this is actually like 115 degrees.
Yeah. Surprisingly, it's been a fairly mild summer us here in Houston.
Yeah.
Partly because it's like rained every day.
Yeah. So. I don't trust it. I think it's going to come in September and just be like hot as blue blazes.
It very well could. Yeah. It feels like the earth is just, it's saving all that
heat. Waiting.
Letting us,
toying with us.
Yeah, letting us get a little comfortable and it's going to come in. Yeah. I think last year was like a record setting heat wave. So, hey.
Maybe we're due for a little bit of a break.
Yeah. But, it feels like every year there's a record setting heat wave.
It does. We're always setting records for something.
Yeah.
Usually it's bad things. It's never like most wildflowers blooming or happiest population.
Sure. Most deer approaching you for love and kisses. All right, well, I've got some news.
Okay. The news.
Yes. All right. This is from our friends in Scotland.
Oh, they are our friends.
Why not? I don't know.
Yeah. I like Scottish people.
Sure. Yeah. Me too. I've seen Shrek. So.
That counts, yes. A friend of the Scottish.
Yes. Rookie police officer in Glasgow, Scotland, called in that she has been... on her way home from work, was being stalked by a drone following her.
Ooh.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah.
So she drove back to the police station to get away from this drone. Finds out it's the planet Jupiter.
Aw.
Yep.
Girl.
Yeah. Evidently, right now, Jupiter is very much visible in the night sky. I am not an astronomer, but there it is. You know. I did see the Milky Way once.
I'm a Gemini, so.
There you go. Counts.
Right. Yeah.
So how would you feel, stalked by the planet Jupiter?
Yeah, I mean, does she need a glasses prescription? Like this, it feels to me like there's a big difference between the drones that I've seen.
Sure. It is night.
And Jupiter. Okay, yeah.
It's just a light in the sky,
But it's keeping like a constant distance. Like it's not.
Look, their drone. Whoever's the drone work
is a good pilot. Yeah,
is really good at droning.
I've seen people try and fly drones, so that feels unbelievable to me.
I've tried to fly a drone.
Yeah,
so.
I watched you fly one into Timmy's head.
Yes, I hit my son in the face with it. So, no harm, no foul.
Right.
Except I'm bringing this up again with my wife, Lisa, and she'll be like, "Oh yeah, you did hit our son in the face." That might be the foul there.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Look, I'm going to say, Jupiter is the Roman version of the Greek god Zeus.
Oh.
And,
so if you're going to be stalked by one.
Well, if you are being stalked by Zeus, probably is better to call the police based on what I know on Greek mythology.
Right.
And,
watch out for swans. Yeah, call the police.
And especially how he approaches young women. I think that's that's pretty good there.
Yeah.
Also, look, defund police, fund astronomers, right? So
be less early evening calls.
Or maybe fund police more. I mean, yeah. If they're having to deal with now planetary attacks.
Right. Like, I'm getting a sense of special training in the future.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, you can identify. It's, you know, maybe they all make mobiles of like the solar system, like they're in fourth grade.
Like a grade school project, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got their styrofoam balls, each painted different colors. Right. Yes.
They whip out their guide of the night sky whenever they assess a crime scene.
Yeah. So she's embarrassed by it. Mm-hmm. Understandably so.
Right.
Her fellow officer says this is going to haunt her for years. So. And they're not wrong.
Right. So. At least they just admit it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it could have been Uranus, which would have been...
Haunted by Uranus.
Yes. It's, you know, Uranus is following me around. We're all children at heart when it comes to...
That's the wrong department, ma'am.
All right. We good to move on?
No, I want to talk about this more.
Okay. I will say this. I don't have this on the news, but I saw this. That you know that there's a Noah's Ark Museum / theme park here?
I thought it was in Virginia, right?
Probably. I don't know. Kentucky, Virginia.
Feels like Virginia.
Seems one of those places. I did see they're building a Tower of Babel add-on.
Isn't that a bad idea? Didn't we do that once?
I feel like a species. There's a pretty good spoiler here in this story that it goes bad for the people who build the Tower of Babel. So, and also, it's like 8 verses long, the Tower of Babel. Like, what is there to talk about? Like, it's a big tower.
Yeah. Like, we really do beat it to death, sort of, in biblical mythology, though, you know? Yeah.
There's also lots of big towers out there. Like, you can go to New York. Tons of big towers everywhere. Go to
the
Dubai.
The Eiffel Tower.
So I don't think Noah's Ark one is building a bigger tower than that. That was my backup news story, if I didn't find the this Jupiter planet one. All right, so let's get to our main topic.
Okay.
Friendship.
Yay.
Oh, yes. It's friendship is magic.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a little My Little Pony. That's what the name of the show is.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that to the table.
I did.
Yeah. You were prepped.
I've never seen it, but I do know that's what it's called. So.
Never seen it. Okay.
Yeah. We waited for David to be gone to talk about friendship. Yeah.
Try not to read into that.
Sure. Yeah.
Which you're now doing since we mentioned it.
So this is from David French, who we've talked about before.
We have.
So he wrote a little, one of his blog on his news website, he wrote about this. But it's really a study here from the Survey Center on American Life that he's mostly referencing. So we'll use some of his stuff and some of the Survey Center on American Life. So here, this will be our quiz for the listener, because Elise, you always read the articles.
I do, in fact.
Unmentioned hosts do not always read the articles.
He has read the article this time as much as he reads the articles the other time.
Sure. Friendships in America. Are we growing? Are we having more friends or less friends?
Do you want me to answer this, or is this the people at large?
I'll let the people think about it, but you can give it the answer.
Pause for effect. Yeah. And we're having less close friendships.
Yeah.
We are more connected with fewer friends.
Yes. Pretty dramatically, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that it's kind of like flipped here. Let me get the one chart here. So in 1990, men, 40% of men said they had 10 or more friends. Mm-hmm. And 28% of women said they had 10. Men are lying.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I'm going to say this right now. Men are not telling the truth. So, because women have more friends.
Yeah. I think men just assume that people like them if they don't actively hate them.
Yeah. Or their definition of friend is probably a little different.
Yeah. I talked to him once and.
Yeah. They're more like, we're pals.
Yeah.
Like, he's a coworker that I occasionally discuss sports with. That's a friend.
Yeah.
You know, so that's 1990, and 3% of men, and it's not even on the list here of women, report no friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2021, so 15% of men have no friends, 10% of women no friends, and only 15% of men have 10 or more, and 11% of women have 10 or more. So we're kind of seeing a little bit of a pretty major shift here in that the numbers that grew for men and women both are less friends, and the numbers that shrinks are more friends.
Yeah. You
know? So that's kind of like, and why do you think that is? What's going on here? Why do we have less friends?
I mean, I think we are more isolated in some ways, right? Like, sure. Stuff is much more virtual, and I think we interact with more people, maybe, mm-hmm. like wider pools of people, but we just are not developing those same bonds with those people. Mm-hmm. So they're not really friends, they're acquaintances, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably it. We have more acquaintances, more fake friends in mm-hmm. a sense. And not to say like they're just like pretending to be our friend, but they're really not kind of people. But like we have more online connections, which I think has some good, but also I don't think it quite can match the realness of like a human connection that's not through a screen or app.
Right.
And so I think that's what we have. And I don't know the whys of it. I think that's a good question maybe for all of us to ponder, of like, why do people seem to have less friends?
Yeah.
I think part of that is kind of in some ways the decline of engagement in social organizations, including mm-hmm. church. Yeah. That would be the big one. But across the board, less clubs, mm-hmm. less community groups, less bowling leagues.
Yeah.
That just decline in participation of all those things would obviously lead to less interactions mm-hmm. and less kind of social connections.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we do with this? No friends.
No friends. Womp womp.
Yeah. So I think this is really interesting because one of the things that Mr. David French highlights here, which I think is interesting. So probably, you know, up until the pandemic hit, COVID hit, you know, for several years from Obama administration up through the Trump administration, things were really on the up for the majority of the United States. Unemployment mm-hmm. was down. Wages were up. And not to say everyone wasn't stressful or suffering on some level.
Yeah.
There was certainly that, but kind of as a nation, we had a little bit of a golden age, so to speak. Global peace. We didn't have major wars going on.
Right.
And yet at the same time with all those things.
Did it feel that way?
No.
No. That's what I was thinking when I read that. I said, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say like, oh, those were times with like low crime rates, higher wages, low unemployment. And yet furious hatred and rage based on partisan politics.
Yep.
That's kind of what, you know, stands out, right? Yeah. Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, crime was way down and all these other things really didn't stand out. So I think that's part of kind of this lack of friendship, too, because in this partisanship, maybe in some ways, 10 years ago or in the 1990s from our study, we were able to see past some of those things easier.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we all have a little bit of a friendship litmus test that says, you do not line up with me on these issues. Therefore, I don't think we're going to be friends anymore. So let me ask you, Elise, have you lost any friendships due to partisan hatred or rage?
Actually, no, I haven't. Yeah. Let me think about this just to make sure I'm telling the truth. I can't think of anybody. Not close friends.
Yeah.
I think I am fairly fortunate in that most of my friendships were built on things other than like aligning politically to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that big of a leap when stuff became very divided for me to just be like, okay, you know, our friendship is built on more than this. So I can kind of, you know, mm-hmm. take or leave your political views and our friendship can still remain.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's good. I can definitely say there are relationships that I have, both friendships and familial relationships that have suffered.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, yeah.
That have kind of like had some major question marks mm-hmm. or some major even like online debates, you know, with people that, you know, I didn't have these kind of online debates with before. I also spent, you know, a good chunk of my life working for the conservative Lutheran Church mm-hmm. before coming to the ELCA, which is typically branded as the liberal Lutheran Church.
Right.
So, you know, in my several years working for the Conservative Church, I built a lot of relationships, yeah, friendships, connections. And, you know, some of those took, you know, a bit of a decline over the last couple of years. And some of that means some light acquaintances become strangers in a sense.
Yeah.
Some light friendships become acquaintances. Yeah. Some strong friendships become light friendships kind of a thing. So I wouldn't say like, oh, we used to be besties and now we're enemies.
Right.
Or frenemies, right, you know, so to speak. But there could be, we were really close and now we're just not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not their fault or my fault. It's just like, that's just the way sometimes things happen.
Differences of opinion can influence that.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, I don't know if you've experienced this, but for speaking for Kat and myself, a time of COVID where kind of things really shut down. That's obviously part of, I think, this lack of friendships. Mm-hmm. Kat and I actually made more friends in COVID than we did the previous 5 years.
That's how we met.
Yes.
I mean, we met pre-COVID, but we didn't. We had game nights, I think.
Yeah.
Virtual game nights. And that's how we started being friends.
Absolutely. Together. Yeah. Elise and I guess we knew each other through church. Mm-hmm. When we became friends at a church leadership conference.
Yeah.
Where we kind of like map out what's the direction of Lord of Life, what are some things, some goals we want to have for the next year, things like that. All those goals kind of like got tossed to the side.
Sure,
as
not a
hit.
Single one.
and understandably so.
Right.
Some things with a lot of passion, even for myself, I'm like, oh, we really, really need to push on this.
Yeah.
And then COVID, it's like, we just got to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we sat at the same table.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there because I was like, I don't really know a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say I've strong acquaintances and, you know, strong people here at the church I know, but I went in and be like, ugh, these things are so stressful for me. I want to sit at a table with somebody I know.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of know Elise.
Right.
So we sat down and we talked about Star Wars and
books.
Fantasy books.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
And the start of our friendship.
I know.
And then you and my wife became friends. Mm-hmm. I became friends with your husband.
Yep.
They became friends. You know,
it's a big happy family. Yeah. Just went on from there.
Yeah, so I think it is interesting that for us, we experienced a growth in our friendship circles during COVID.
Yeah.
What about you and Michael?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think we, before 2020, we did not feel like we had many close friends in Texas. Yeah. And now we feel like we have a really robust close friend group here that we're super grateful for. And it's funny to come out of a year like 2020 being like so grateful that it happened to an extent, you know, not to discount, you know, how tough it was for everybody, especially some people, but you know, it changed our lives, you know.
I think part of that, I think for us, you know, we can say maybe when we were going to jobs and doing stuff every day and kind of like had office relationships or these casual kind of connections with those around us, those kind of like we felt like can sustain us for a bit. And then when the weekends or nights come, it's like, you know what, I just want to rest and like watch TV together as a couple and kind of like live in that. But when you're never leaving the house, and you're never even having like casual conversations about like, hey, did you watch the show or what's going on, then we were so desperate for that. And that made it, for the maybe the first time in my adult life, like a very intentional of like, I need to make some friends.
Yeah.
And who do I have in my social circles right now that could be a friend?
Right.
And let's go for it.
Yeah. Put the pressure on.
And like let's figure it out. Like for us, it was like, let's meet some neighbors.
Right.
We've never had to do that before.
Yeah.
Let's figure those things out.
I think I assumed that as an adult, most people already have established friend groups, especially having moved from out of state. Here.
Yeah.
I feel like I came into a situation where everybody here already was established with the people they wanted to hang out with.
Sure.
And if people weren't inviting me to hang out with them, it's because they didn't want to hang out with me.
Sure.
And I think that's an assumption that maybe all of us have at one point or another.
Yeah.
And I think especially taking that study into account, it is completely untrue.
For sure.
I think we're all mutually like, oh man, I'd really like to have more friends, but nobody's inviting me anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we all have this everyone's having fun without me kind of mentality of like, everyone has friends.
Yeah.
I'm the outlier.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm the one who just cannot seem to connect or get together or do these things. And I think in reality, you know, and this is kind of the the problem with the social media world is we're seeing everybody's highlights and not seeing the lowlights, right? Yep. We're seeing the one time where, like, this group of friends were able to get together for a dinner and they post a photo on Instagram, and not the months or weeks, you know, or years of loneliness and frustration.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make a good caption. You know,
right, like, right, right. Well, I was just in Oregon with one of my best friends from childhood. Yeah. And, you know, it sounds great. Like, oh, I go visit my, you know, childhood best friend in Oregon and it's wonderful. And it is. But we realized when I was out there that it's been 3 years since we've seen each other in person. We're like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
That's so, and, you know, if you were looking at my Instagram, it's all like, we're getting massages, we're so happy to be together. And it's not like, wow, we really let this slip for 3 years. Absolutely. You know?
And I think that, that, you know, is a reality for all of us. I mean, we all have busy lives, we'll have a lot going on. I think we all have, you know, in many ways, like, voids, and we fill those voids.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to know, like, how do I unfill this void to add in a potential friend?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's some risk of vulnerability attached to that.
And we're such, like, path of least resistance people too. Like, so we get off, like, for those of you that work 9 to 5, you get off and you think, all right, what am I doing this evening? Right. And it's not going to be probably, let me text that person that I haven't really talked to that much to see if they want to hang out.
Sure.
It's going to be routine, right? It's going to be, I'm going to pick up dinner and I'm going to go watch my shows and then I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow. You know, it's not that I'm going to put myself out there. Especially because life is busy for people. If you're putting yourself out there, sometimes you have to put yourself out there multiple times for things to actually work and for you to be able to connect with people, because everybody has stuff they have to navigate around, you
know? For sure. Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's just the reality. So just,
yeah.
And, like, you know, sometimes you hang out with somebody, you think, oh, I think we could be friends.
Yeah,
and then when it comes down to it, you're like, eh, I don't think we actually
maybe not.
Can.
Yeah.
We are good acquaintances.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to get more a little bit into this, like, idea of, like, how even though we spent a period of time as a nation under a lot of prosperity, it didn't quite feel like it because of this partisan rage at one another. And I think that has, even if we can't say for us directly, has affected relationships in America. And that's just kind of undoubtedly, right? Like, and I think part of that is we have found ourselves over the last 10 years or so, 15 years, kind of tribalizing our friendships, right? Like, kind of, we're going to get with the people who most think like us and have the same worldview as us. And that's natural in a lot of ways, right? Like, if you're joining, if you make a friend through church or a community group, you obviously are having a sign of, we understand the world from the same perspective already. Like, it's really hard to make a friend who does not see the world as you do in any way, right? Like even if I was like, you know what? I'd really love to make, you know, friends with a 70-year-old Islamic woman. How would you even do that?
Right. I mean, like, where do you start? I'm going to guess over food.
But, like, so you're naturally going to be making connections with those that share some level of worldview with you. That just makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think we have started to, and I think with this article here by Mr. David French and the study is saying, like, we're kind of defining our friendships by that worldview. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, I think you lose so much when you only interact with people that agree with you, especially politically. I mean, there's just so much to be gained from interacting with and loving people that are different from you, you know, and always. And I think that's one thing that I've really valued about my friend and acquaintances groups, is that most of us are very different people, you know. Now, I would say my closest friends, we are very similar.
Sure.
But, you know, take that a little bit broader, from, like, friends I would die for to, like, friends that, you know, I would like to have lunch with regularly, you know. And it, we're very different. And I think that that's been really valuable for me.
Absolutely. I think that that, I liked how you mentioned, like, friendships force us to kind of love others that see the world a little different ways, and also allow ourselves to be loved by others.
Yeah.
And kind of break through this barrier of like, it prevents like this us versus them mentality of like, those people are just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
By having a friendship, you can see the beauty, the excitement, the love that they have for their families and the world and the community around them, and still find ways to disagree with one another.
Yep.
And I think also the problem with that, this kind of tribalistic friendships, is that they can be very fragile friendships. Of if it's bonded by a worldview, what happens if I don't fully share that worldview anymore?
You change your opinion or something.
Or something new comes up and we find ourselves on opposite sides. Mm-hmm. How do we navigate that? You know, if we're, you know, a progressive friend group is very close-knit, very bonded over their progressive values and how they perceive the world. And then an issue comes up in our world, like, what do we do with a trans athlete?
Right.
And there's disagreement.
Yeah.
What happens?
Right. You know, like, do you get voted off the friend group? Like,
Yeah. If one person has a disagreement with the rest of the group, are they kicked out?
Yeah.
Is it now, you're not fully with us?
Yeah.
Then you must be against us.
Right.
And I think that has and can happen often. I think, and not just from progressives, but also from conservatives. I mean, like, I've talked with plenty of conservative people that I know that they kind of made a stand and say, like, we're against Donald Trump. We're anti him as a person. We will not vote for him. And their communities really crumbled around them of like, how could this happen? And like, they're like, we're still equally as conservative as we were before saying this.
Yeah.
And yet, this happened. And again, I don't think that's a trait that is that only pops up on one side of the political equation.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that?
Ooh, yeah, I mean, I think separating the person from the viewpoint that you think is wackadoodle is challenging, you know? But, you know, I'm hopeful that I can do that for people, right? And then I'm hopeful that people can do that for me, too. Because, I mean, there's definitely people I'm going to interact with or be friends with that think that I'm the wackadoodle, right?
Yeah.
And there are people that I'm friends with and interact with that I think they're the wackadoodle.
Sure. They but, probably think the same as I do.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just hopeful that we can, especially since it sounds like we're starting to recognize this as a trend, that we can say, okay, you know, I need to just separate like who you are from like this opinion on this thing, especially if it's an isolated opinion, especially if it's not inherently racist or homophobic or any of the nasties, you know.
Sure.
It's a little bit more complicated if it is and if it's not isolated.
Yeah. Well, I also think, like, I'm going to be honest, maybe we don't always need to share our opinions online all the time.
About everything.
Yeah, maybe maybe that wasn't good for humanity.
Right.
Of like,
I'm shook.
I've got a thought about something. Let me put it out there for the world to see.
Twitter is the downfall of humanity.
Sure.
Yeah.
And because I think that through that lens, especially of like social media, it really is like designed to like start like culture wars on like every possible issue.
Yes.
And it's okay to be like, you know what, I don't need to comment on this.
Right.
But I'd rather have the friendship than I would being right.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the reality.
Yeah.
Like, that means more than like, yeah, than feeling like moral superiority or that I are out argued this person.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, we all say stupid stuff sometimes too. Like,
absolutely.
that is human nature to say the stupid thing. And I think we give ourselves grace for that, but I don't think we really, when somebody else says the stupid thing, it's like, oh, that is your core belief and you're going to take that with you to your grave. So I can't be around you because you said something stupid, you know?
Yeah. So, and I also think, like, if we make every issue kind of a black or white issue, it kind of eliminates any person in the middle who's like, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, we kind of mentioned a few minutes ago, like, the idea of, like, trans athletes in women's sports. That's a huge thing that's online right now. And in some ways, I could say, like, I'm not entirely sure what the best solution to this problem is.
Yeah.
One, I'm not even sure there is a major problem.
Right.
And if there is, I don't really know the best option
right.
to honor both female athletes and trans athletes? Mm-hmm. How can we best do that? I don't really know.
Yeah.
But if it's black or white, if you say, like, I don't know,
yeah.
you've effectively sometimes offended both groups. Right. Like, both sides are unhappy.
Yeah.
Because there's, you can be so convinced in your rightness that, like, mm-hmm. somebody being like, I don't know the right answer, becomes the enemy, you know,
right.
becomes a bad person
yeah.
in your mind. And I think that that kind of eliminates, and especially it's like, I don't want to make this hip check, you know, quick shot reaction
right.
without any thought behind
right.
it, or like, let me process this internally. I mean,
right.
that's the problem of like social media, right?
Yeah,
like,
we all have to jump on the bandwagon
yeah, and,
immediately.
And it doesn't matter if the opinion is nuanced, it matters the opinion is first.
Right.
You know, like that's
yeah.
really what matters.
Right.
Yeah.
Or that has a catchy hashtag.
For sure. yeah. So hashtag friendship is yeah. you know, like, that's not really that country. Yeah. So
we can do better. We'll yeah. we'll work on it.
It's the ship I want to be
hashtag
on.
Hashtag beyond friendship.
Yes.
maybe not.
No, that sounds like a
dating service or something. I don't know.
Or like a fake meat, you know, like mm-hmm. like the Beyond Burger, you know.
Oh.
it's like friendship, but it's not real.
Right. So the internet.
yeah. So what do we do? How do we, you know, how do we bring friendship back into the United States, into our kind of core values as a people?
Yeah. So I don't know about big picture, but I will say that I've been very freaked out about everybody's push to move stuff online, continuing to move stuff online mm-hmm. as we move into hopefully a post-COVID era.
Yeah.
To me, that's very negative.
For sure.
And like, that's just... That worked and that was positive when we were all stuck at home, right?
Yeah.
But we need that mm-hmm. like physical social connection with mm-hmm. each other. So I hope that we will back off of that stance of like, oh, isn't this great? We can do everything online that we used to do in person.
Yeah.
And move things back to being in person. I hope there's the renewed interest in like church and clubs and, you
Absolutely.
Know, those
yeah.
sorts of, you know, in-person social gatherings. I think those are... important. I think they were already dwindling before COVID, mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that our collective sort of experience of loneliness will put us back in the doors, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of that also come of like, how can we, and especially as Christians,
mm-hmm.
How can we form intentional friendships beyond those that kind of have a shared worldview
yeah.
immediately? So that means, okay, I'm a Christian. How can I form relationships really outside of my church?
Yeah.
What do I need to do? And that means, you know, seeking out other avenues.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it means like, you know what? I kind of like bowling, and it means joining a bowling league.
Yeah.
For me, a big part of kind of my worldview shifting is joining an improv class.
Yeah.
And having a year and a half of doing improv stuff here in downtown Houston with people who are very different than myself.
yeah.
Like one guy even told me I was pretty funny for a priest. And I'm like, well, I'm not a priest.
Not a priest.
And sometimes not that funny.
Right.
So, you know.
Good joke, though.
yeah. yeah. All right. I think you said man of the cloth. Which
man
made
of the
it
cloth.
Even funny.
Wow.
So, but I think, you know, like that was like a really, really powerful thing for me to be a part of. Like these mm-hmm. shared connections with people I never would have met.
Yeah.
I never would have had an interaction with them
yeah.
on any level. And now I get one. And so I think... as Christians, we should be very intentional with those things
mm-hmm.
and not immediately cutting somebody out by saying, oh, you belong to the wrong political party
sure.
or the wrong worldview on this issue, or you think about you have expressed your opinion about
yeah.
this hot topic and I disagree with it. Boom, cut off.
Yeah.
I think it kind of means we have to be willing to let friendship exist even when we think somebody's wrong.
Yeah. yeah. And I mean, I think growing up in the 90s, and this might have been true earlier too, there was a huge emphasis growing up evangelical Christian in the 90s for being really careful who your friends are because yeah. they influence you, you know?
Sure.
So it, and maybe there is some truth to that. But what that ends up creating is this idea that like, oh, I can only be friends with people who are evangelical Christians like me, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
And I think that that is a horrible thing to teach people.
Yes.
And I'm hopeful that, you know, we can, those of us who grew up around that have moved past that, hopefully, and are,
yeah.
can be willing to be open to the friends that are in front of us, you know?
Well, and I think what's tough about that is that we, like, didn't think we can influence them.
Right.
like, are we so...
They're just influencing you.
Like,
sheeple.
Are we so, like... ashamed and uncertain of our own faith beliefs, mm-hmm. that we don't think that mm-hmm. we can influence others through friendship.
Right.
Like that.
I believe that's only done through a pamphlet known as a tract.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I think that is part of it. I think part of like, if we really want to get serious about like evangelism and bringing the message and hope mm-hmm. of the gospel to others, it really is never going to be found in like just going to people and be like, hey, you want to go to church?
Yeah.
The answer is probably no.
Right.
You know, like,
no.
But like through long-term friendship, there can be reshaping of worldviews mm-hmm. and a greater emphasis of like, I'm open to hear how you perceive the world.
Yeah.
And I think that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things he kind of ends with here, and I think this is really interesting here. He was at, Mr. David French was at this conference. They're kind of going over like, what can the church do? Kind of like, in many ways, like engage the culture, mm-hmm. things like this. We got these 5-point plans, these big lists. And one pastor says, what if our strategy is just the fruits of the Spirit? What if we just embrace that?
Right.
And that would be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like if we just did those mm-hmm. things, would that work?
What does the Bible say?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it, unbelievably surprisingly, it would.
Yeah.
If we just said, how can I do those things every day? We can see that that can lead to greater friendships, mm-hmm. greater possibilities in this world, greater ways that we can kind of like not only enrich our lives through mm-hmm. friendship, but having that friendship enrich the disconnect in our world.
Yep.
You know, and that this loneliness, this partisan hate and rage, this isolation, those things are the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Not legislate that everybody thinks like me.
Sure.
Or find myself in an even greater silo.
Yeah.
Where any break in uniformity means we can't have a relationship anymore.
Right.
That's how cults work, not yep. how real life works.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm told, I suppose.
Right. To clarify.
Yeah. Okay, friendship. Yeah. Hey, it was good talking to you, my friend.
Yes.
And our friends out
our
there.
Our absent
listening.
Friends.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you liked what you heard, Pastor David used us as parts.
Yeah.
So, you know where to find us, right?
Yeah. He made me do it one time when you weren't here and I just stumbled over it.
Oh,
so
gosh.
We just,
yeah. Yes. I think we have an email address, beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. Not .org.
Yeah, as I was told. Yes. Yes.
We got a website too, Beyond Sunday something. You know, Google it, you'll probably find us. You know?
Yeah.
Or
it's the picture with the clouds in the background. There's multiple Beyond Sundays.
Okay, there you go. We got clouds in the background.
Yeah.
That's how we see the world.
Yeah.
You know, cloudy.
Cloud drama.
Yeah. You know, it's good. Clouds are great. You know, good mm-hmm. and bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there you go. We'll see you next week with more Beyond Sunday.